Well, hello and welcome. It's good to be with you and thank you for joining us. I hope that you are having a great day. It's a beautiful day here. It's kind of warm and we certainly need some rain and we pray God will send us some more, but it's a beautiful day and the best part about it is the fact that God has brought us together. He wants us to hear from Him. He wants us to grow in His grace and I'm thankful for that opportunity. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. But again, obviously more than anyone, we want to thank our Lord. And since He so loves us that He gives us this time, invites us into His presence, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Father, the fact that You want us to know You, You want us to have an eternal relationship with You. Father, You want us to grow in that relationship. Father, in this time, I just pray, oh God, that You will speak, that we will hear from You, we'll know You better. Lord, that we'll be able to trust You more. Father, that we will know the closeness, oh God, You desire for us to have with You. Speak to us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm sure all of us in our walk, in our relationship with God, have gone through times where we simply did not understand what God was doing, or from our perspective, it seemed like He wasn't doing anything. Maybe there was a great need that we had that was not being met. Maybe we were needing some guidance, but it wasn't coming. Maybe we were facing some problem and it wasn't being solved. Some very difficult or heartbreaking situation, and we just couldn't understand what God was doing or why He allowed something to happen or why nothing it seemed like was happening. And really, all we could really ask was why. Well, this is exactly where the psalmist is as we open God's Word to Psalm 89, a masculine of Ethan the Ezraite. And we don't know exactly when this psalm was written, the historical background of it. Some have speculated it was during the invasion by Shishak in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Some say it was written in the background of the backdrop of the Babylonian exile. We're not certain when, but it's obvious that the question there was why. The psalmist looked back at God's word, then he looked around at what was taking place, and he simply couldn't understand it. He knew that God had made wonderful promises to David and through David for the nation of Israel. You think of what we read, and it's a long passage to be sure, but it's easier to read it and than it would be for me to describe it. But in Psalm 89, you think of what we read is in verses 19 through 37. Once you spoke in a vision to your godly ones and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I've exalted one chosen from among the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand will be established. My arm also will strengthen him. The enemy will not deceive him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. But I shall crush his adversaries before him and strike those who hate him. My faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him, and in my name his horn will be exalted. I shall also set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He will cry to me, You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I shall also make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My loving kindness I will keep for him forever. My covenant shall be confirmed to him. So I will establish his descendants forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not break off my loving kindness from him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His descendants shall endure forever, and his throne is the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, and the witness in the sky is faithful. Selah. Wonderful promises to David and promises to the nation of Israel through David. The psalmist looked back and he said, you know, this is what God has promised to do. And yet he looked around and that wasn't what he was seeing. And it thoroughly confused him and the situation just continued to go on and on. And again, I know it's a lot of reading, but think what we read in verses 38 through 45. After all those wonderful promises, but you have cast off cast off and rejected. You have been full of wrath against your anointed. You have spurned the covenant of your servant. You have profaned his crown in the dust. You have broken down all of his walls. You brought down his strongholds to ruin. All who pass along the way plunder him. He has become a reproach to his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his adversaries. You've made all of his enemies rejoice. You also turned back the edge of his sword and have not made him stand in battle. You have made his splendor to cease and cast his throne to the ground. You have shortened the days of his youth. You have covered him with shame. Again, all the promises, but he looked around, and what he saw had nothing in common with those promises. And all I could think of was why. Now, obviously, I know we have the benefit of further revelation. We can know that God was working his plan through the Old Testament so that the time would be right for the sending of Christ. But he didn't know that. Put yourself in his sandals. All he could think of was the fact that God was moving in a way that was strange and did not seem to be moving at all in the way in which he promised. And all he could think of was why. Like us in those times we talked about earlier, perhaps like you today. You know you should be able to trust the Lord. He should guide you, strengthen you, go before you, and yet you're not experiencing anything today. Why? And what is it that we need to do in those times? As we look at the balance of this psalm, we find what we ought to do in those times. And obviously, Psalms is Hebrew poetry, which rhymes more in thought than in words. So there may seem to be a cycle going on through this psalm, as there are in many of them. But I want us to look at the key truths. What do we need to do when all we can do is ask why? When what we know in God's Word, His wonderful promises, are not what we are experiencing, and it just keeps going on that way. Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to praise God for His goodness. Now, when I first began working on this, I was originally going to say, remember God's goodness. But he goes beyond remembering God's goodness. He actually goes so far as not just remember, but to praise God for his goodness. You think of what we read in verses 1 through 10. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever to all generations. I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. I've made a covenant with my chosen. I've sworn to David my servant. I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. Selah. The heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all those who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the swelling of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You think about what he's praising God for here. And you think about the traits, the attributes, the descriptions. He talks about God's loving kindness, God's faithfulness, the wonder of God, how God is incomparable, how God is to be feared, that awesome deep respect. How awesome is God? All of which talks about God's faithfulness to his people, the power, the might, the rightness of God, which, by the way, once more tells us the importance of knowing God, especially when we don't understand what he's doing, how important it is that we know his character, that we know his being, that we know who he is. And by praising God's goodness, certainly remembering it, but going beyond that and actively praising him for it, it reminds us that we can trust him and actually builds up our faith. It helps us, in fact, to trust him when we don't understand. And so we need to praise God for his goodness. But also we need to praise God for his promises. Look again at verses 3 and 4. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. Again, he's reminding himself of the promises and the covenant to David. And yes, I know that is what the psalmist here is struggling with that. But you think about because of the further revelation. In the midst of all of this wrestling with what is God doing, you and I have the ability to look back and say, well, he was preparing everything for the coming Christ. which ought to actually help us in our faith. Because when we see, when it seems from our perspective that God isn't moving or working, it's because He's working in a far greater way than what we can ever imagine. You know, the reality is, when God makes us wait, there seems to be a principle throughout God's Word, and most of us can probably say we've seen it in our life. The greater the wait, the longer that God makes us wait for something, and the more important that something is, the greater the wait, the more wonderful the fulfillment. The psalmist, Israel going through all of this, certainly God could intervene instantly and solve the problem. But God was actually in the midst of fulfilling His plan of sending Jesus Christ. The most wonderful fulfillment of promises ever made. The greater the wait, the greater the fulfillment. The longer we wait, the more wonderful it will be what God is doing. And so we need to, in fact, remember God's promises. We need to remember God's praises, to praise God for who He is and remember His promises. But then notice as well, number three, we need to praise God for His power. Think of what we see in verse 11 through 18. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all it contains. You have founded them. The north and the south you have created them. Tabor and Hermon, shout for joy at your name. You have a strong arm, your hand is mighty, your right hand is exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and by your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Again, he's reminded of God's goodness, and also he's reminded of his power that makes that goodness possible and brings that goodness to pass, and how God fulfills his great, awesome power. And he looks back at the creation. He talks about the world, the north and the south. He talks there about the mountains. And he talks about the works and the blessings of God in his life. You know, as we remember God and his power, we're reminded of the fact that there's nothing that God cannot do. We're reminded that for God, there's nothing that's impossible. What you and I refer to as impossible, and I don't mean this to be irreverent, but what you and I think of as being impossible is just another day at work for God. God does the impossible, or what we think is impossible, all the time. We need to remember His great power. That impossible situation we face is nothing for God. He's going to deal with it in His perfect timing. He's going to fulfill His promises. His power can overwhelm it at any point. We need to praise and trust God for His power. But then lastly, we need to praise God for His hearing. Look at verses 49 through 52. Where are your former loving kindnesses, O Lord, which you swore to David in your faithfulness? Remember, O Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples, with which your enemies have reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. You think about how that psalm ends there in verse 52. After going through all of this, he's able to say, blessed be the Lord forever. How? What enabled him to say that after going through all that? It's because he knew that God heard. Child of God, our Father always hears your prayer. Now, he might not always answer it the way that you or I want him to, and certainly not in the timing, but he always hears. And in fact, he invites us to come to seek him. You think about what we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We should praise our God because He hears us. No, He might not work in the timing that we expect, and many times He'll answer differently than what we think, but God does, in fact, always hear us, and we can trust Him and praise Him for it. Like Ethan, we've all had times when we didn't know what God was doing or why. But Ethan's experience shows us that we can trust Him. What a God we have. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, You are a God who can always be trusted. You are faithful to Your promises. You're faithful to Your people. Oh, Lord God, especially for those today who are going through very long, drawn-out, difficult situations and can't see Your hand, can't understand what You're doing, God, strengthen them. Guide them as to what they need to do at this day, in this moment, and provide them the grace that they need for this moment. And, oh God, just carry them to the day that they see Your wonderful fulfillment and that it's even better than they can ever have imagined. Father, be with them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that you do have a good day as you go with our Lord. In fact, I hope you have a great day in Him, that you see Him work and move, that you'll remember who He is, that you'll have close fellowship with Him, and that you will know His love.